Okay, so good evening, and I just want to chat a little bit about something that's probably very dear to your heart and mine. And let's just bring it in with a little bit of valse de fleur, you know. Isn't it just does the same thing over and over again? Anyway, let's go and see what's in my fridge. And essentially, I've got a lovely new, very heavy tankard with a handle, and it's called Hofmeister Imported Bavarian Heller's Lager. And what I've done is I've popped in a favorite of mine, which is a pale ale. So this particular glass is unlikely to actually exhibit lagers because I don't tend to drink a lot of lagers, but I have got a very beautiful pale ale, and although it's pale, it's actually a dark sort of wheaten look, and I'm just going to discuss that. But I'm just going to pop to the fridge and I'm going to get out one of my favorite bottled beers, which is Proper Job. Okay, and we'll have a look at that one and see how that's performing as well, and then we'll just discuss the kind of importance of these beers in bottles. So in the late sort of noughties or whatever, you know, we had a couple of interesting departures in the beer world, which was, instead of just, you know, the darker ales and then the brown ales, which were called best bitters and tend to be called amber ales now, and then the lagers, we had pale ales really hit the big time, IPAs, and also this new idea of session IPAs, which are essentially craft beers on a kind of keg system, just like your lagers. So we're a little bit spoilt for choice, because when the sunshine hits, I have to admit, I'm not mega keen to sit in a pub garden drinking best bitter, okay, which I've probably done all winter by the fireside. So I've got a choice now of some IPAs, okay, which may well be draft beers, or session IPAs, right? And then there's the lagers. So we've got sort of a choice of three coming out of the winter ales, the porters, the stouts, the best bitters, and the amber ales. So where are we going from here? So what I've done is I've taken a bottle of Adnam Southwold 4.5% pale ale. And the remarkable thing about this pale ale, and it tells us that it's got whispers of aromatic elderflower, bold citrus and gooseberry flavours with hints of warming rye spice. And that's the nub about this one. It's a very, very special ale because it's got, very unusually, the cereal called rye in it. And I'm only about 18 miles from the little town of Rye, which is extraordinarily historical, on the Kent-Sussex border. So I'm always interested in a rye ale. And essentially, it just gives you a lot, sort of almost redder orange notes on the usual pale ale, okay? And so this one is gracing my Hofmeister Imported Bavarian Hell's Lager, you know, an imported lager from hell. We can sort of go with that, can't we? And essentially, he looks very much like Shakespeare's Bear and Ragged Staff, if you know the Warwickshire County emblem. But what he's done is he's truncated the ragged staff and he's created a bar table out of it, right? And he's put his tankard of beer on the truncated rugged staff or ragged staff, and he's now drinking Hofmeister Imported Bavarian Lager from Hell's. Okay, but I'm drinking Ghost Ship from Adnams of Southwold, and it's got rye in it. So it's a really nice beer. So let's just talk through this a little bit and discuss what it's actually like on draft. Now, the last time I had it on draft was in a place called Ales and Antiques, which is opposite the Tankerton Arms Inn, you guessed it, Tankerton, which is somewhere between Whitstable and Herne Bay, a very, very nice part, very upmarket part of North Kent. And the sunshine they get there is something else. And of course, if you like oysters, that helps a lot. So we've got a fantastic, massive cereal gold, almost grapefruit, you know, smack up my nose. And the beer massively grabs you. It grabs you at the back of your throat, the top of your tongue, and underneath your tongue. So you put all that together, and you've got a heck of a fantastic finish, a crisp crunch on the palate for this particular beer. And that's what's interesting about bottle versus barrel, okay? It's particularly true of the Adnams beers. It's probably true for the Shepherd Neame beers, but I've stopped drinking Shepherd Neame bottles because they will put glucose syrup in them all. And if I want glucose syrup, I'm just going to buy Lucozade. I'm sorry, but I'm not going for your brewery crap, right? I want water, hops, barley, barley malt. That's it, isn't it? And yeast. Yeah, so that's it. That's all I want. Or if you want to throw in some rye, that's good. A lot of beers these days are putting wheat in, but wheat is essentially from the oldest brewers in the world, the Weissenheifers. I mean, the guys that did the wheat beer, you know. And when they do something, they do it really well. So let's not pander to them. Let's just keep beer as barley as far as we can. You may or may not know this, but before the 1800s, most British beer was actually brewed from oats. Now, you find me a British beer in today's world that's brewed from oats. Okay? Rye has always been a speciality, but rye and barley as two cereals are much more, closely related to one another. And I have to say, if you've got any kind of a rye beer, just bring it here because I do love a beer with rye in it, okay? And I've probably had a stout that's got oats in it, but that's about all. But yeah, amazingly, over the centuries, brewing practice does change considerably. Okay, but I still don't really and honestly want my British beers brewed with wheat unless they clearly state that on the front label. Okay, so whenever I buy a bottled beer, have a quick look on the back at the ingredients. I don't want any glucose syrup. I don't want any brewer's syrup. I don't want hop extract. What the feck is that? I'm paying as much for the bottle. Feck off. Okay, and I don't want wheat, frankly. That's it, you know. Anyway, so what we're getting here with the Ghost Ship is a massive, powerful crunch, okay? And it is a fantastic beer at any time of the year. But this is almost its, you know, zenith. But I had a pint of it in a micro pub just over a week ago. And it's a much softer version. You haven't got the big free hit biting finish. You know, you haven't got the big dark orange colour. And so it's always one that I'll go for when I'm offered it on draft. But I wouldn't say it's as good on draft as in the bottle. And it is generally acknowledged that Adnams are actually better in bottle than they are on barrel, which is interesting. So that takes me to a completely different southern brewery, which is the St. Austell Brewery, proper job. Now, I had one of these on draft about a month ago now, and that was served in a proper job glass. Or something like that, you know, and you wouldn't know it for the same beer. Because when you have it in bottle, all of those powerfully hopped hops are just mingling. They're waiting to tantalise your taste buds. and they're going to give you a massive hit to the back of your neck, like someone giving you a karate chop, you know, just underneath your cranium. My gosh, you do know it when that happens. And that is what this bottled beer really aims to deliver, okay, in the glass from the bottle. But when I had it from the barrel, I could barely tell it at all. I mean, it really was one of the most faint-hearted beers I've had for a very long time, and I wouldn't have it again, which was a shame. So these kind of IPAs very often work much, much better, up to 10 times better from the bottle, bizarrely. So what I'm saying is, get yourself a nice collection of glasses and enjoy at your leisure. And I generally have some at room temperature and some chilled in the fridge, and it depends on the temperature of the day, my mood, what food I'm eating, you know, all that kind of thing. Okay, so don't think for one moment that the bottled versions are the poor brothers of the barrel. In fact, I'm finding with Ghost Ship and Proper Chub, it's the complete other way round. And they are very much my favourite two bottled beers of the moment. Okay. I mean, we're getting some option to have these keg session IPAs, right? Now, in Kent, you're going to be offered something called Whitstable Blonde Ale, which is, you know, it's not the worst. And then Spitfire Lager from the same place. And they're pretty good, actually. They're pretty good in glass. Pretty cold, pretty fizzy, beautiful colour. They're not bad at all. In fact, I just as soon drink Spitfire Lager as just about any other lager these days. But if one of those is off the keg, right, they'll offer you something called, it's something like First Drop Session IPA. And I had another one today in a different pub. It was a free house. I had alpaca something, right? And it almost tastes like a lager that's got a little bit of salt, a good bit of honey spice, and some chamomile thrown in. Right, there's a little bit of sort of spicy excitement in there, as well as the lager type, you know, chillness, colour. It's going to be a little bit more fuzzy, right? It's not going to be as filtered as a lager. But at this time of year, which is late May going into possibly some summertime, I think they're actually quite a good option. And I'd rather drink a keg session IPA than a lager most of the time. Okay, now the one thing I want to say is, don't know if you're aware of it or not, but when you go to a pub, you don't have to have a pint, right? What you can do, and what I very often do, is you scan along what's offered and you take half a pint each of two comparative offerings, okay? So try that. So you've got your pint, but you've got two half pints. I've done it many, many times with all sorts of beers, and that is well worth trying, because until you start trying beers in tandem, you don't really know the devil you're dealing with, okay? So that's a big, big tip for this early summer. Get out there, try things, comparison half pints, okay? And don't be thinking that the bottled beers are necessarily a poor relation of the barrels. It's very often completely the reverse, and the Proper Job IPA in bottle is superb. Right, it's a brilliant, brilliant one to challenge lager drinkers. They say, oh no, I only drink lager. Pour them a Proper Job IPA from a bottle and see what they think of that. Well chilled in the fridge, you know. And there's a whole lot else out there, you know. Start to discover things for yourself, okay? So years ago, in the hotter weather, I'd have just gone to a pub and I'd have ordered a Peroni, pint of Peroni. But the fact of the matter is that the pub prices are slipping up now from £5 to £6. Are we getting anything for the extra quid? Or are we just paying their taxes? You know, and so you've got to start thinking you know, about this. And one of the things I think is, okay, well, I'm going to drink a little bit less in the pubs and a little bit more at home. And then, yeah, I'll pay their £6, but I'm not going to drink quite as many pints. Now, if you was to go down to a really good local pub, like sometimes your microbreweries, but especially on the Marsh of Snargate, if you went to the Red Lion, you could be paying £3.80 a pint, you know, and you could be drinking all night long. So you've got to be a little bit consistent here, okay? Is the barrel as good as the bottle? Do you desperately need a pint? Could you have a half a pint or two half pints? What about the pub across the road or the one down the lane or whatever? Could you have an afternoon out drinking at four different rural pubs, but you only have half a pint in each pub? Okay, so you're going to drink two pints, but you're going to have four different beers. You need to tap into your taste buds and your taste bud intelligence just a little bit more. And that's my challenge to you this summer. Don't negate bottled beers. Okay, don't forget you can sometimes buy those little kegs with a tap, right, for lagers and Bavarian beers and that. They're a bit of fun. You can go to a brewery like Hook Norton and you can get a mini peg. So mini pin, sorry, that is a mini pin is 18 pints. And they'll also sell you a pin, which is a poly pin. A pin, I think, is 36 pints. Anyway, go and see what they got. The best place for buying beer from the brewery in this country, as far as I have found so far, is Hook Norton of Oxfordshire, which is near Banbury, out in the Cotswolds. It's a brilliant afternoon out. You won't regret, and you can have a brewery tour if you want, okay? That's my all-time favourite brewers in Britain. But I'm also getting into the Suffolk brewer called Maldon's. And if you go to maldon.co.uk, they'll actually send you cases of 12 beers. And they're seriously nice. If you want a really nice pale ale, the Silver Adder is superb. If you want a top performing stout, the Black Adder is one of the best stouts in Britain. And if you want a really decent, you know, bitter type ale, go for the Suffolk Pride. And then there's a sort of in between IPA type, which is called the White Adder. Okay. You have to be quite a local to enjoy the other ones. I have to say, they're a little bit of an acquired taste, all right? But pale ale, Silver Adder, stout, Black Adder, and an IPA, White Adder. You can get them in cases of 12. Go and have a look, maldons.co.uk. And go out to Hook Norton, which is Hook Norton. It's just like a town or village in the middle of nowhere in the Cotswolds. Go and find the brewery, and, you know, have a deep, long look at your relationship with British beer. And if you can start brewing your own, well, obviously start brewing your own. But what I do is I take a few days or a whole holiday and I take it to a part of Britain where I can investigate the local beers a whole lot better. And I'll tell you one brewery which you may or may not know, and it is well worth having a look. It's at a place called Stoke Lacey between Hereford and Bromyard in Herefordshire, and it's called the Wye Valley Brewery. Okay, you won't regret having a little bit of an outing out there. And while you're there, you might like to pop down to Much Markle near Ledbury and get yourself into Weston's. Now, that's a cider shop you won't forget in a hurry. Okay, so all of these are obviously good with curry. You won't forget them in a hurry. And, you know, there's nothing like a beer that smells of cow slurry.